Hello, everyone. It's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God loves us. He cares about all of us. Remember, no matter what people do, God loves them. God can be angry with you and love you at the same time. His love is constructive, and His anger is also constructive. If there's any chance that He can get you saved, see, He knows how to read our hearts. He'll do it. When He's working with us, when He's working with you, you have to yield to Him. You have to start trusting Him at that point. Though He's angry at your sin, He loves you. And He's not interested in judging you if He doesn't have to. He'll rather save you. He'll rather bless you than judge you, and you and your life ends up being a curse. He loves us. There were times and days when I would say, Lord, I'm having a problem with this person. I wanted the Lord to deal with that person. And He never dealt with that person. Whoever was giving me a problem. He dealt with my attitude toward that person. And I used to wonder why. But I trusted Him, and I said, well, okay, I'll do it. I'll do what you say. I'll love Him, and I'll walk in love. There came a day that I asked the Lord to teach me how to walk in love. And I'm not saying it was easy, but I endeavored to walk in love with everybody. And I wanted to. And also along the way, there were difficult people out there in difficult times. It was not always easy. It was not always a cakewalk. But I fought a good fight to love people. And when they would aggravate me, if I would get to a low point about it, I would confess that I love them. And sometimes I do it by faith. I say, I forgive them by faith. I forgive them. And I will forget about it. And I don't hold it against them. And then I pray for them. Now, as I endeavor to love God's people, and all the while the enemy would attack. He would do things on purpose to try to knock me off my horse, so to speak. But I continued to do, and I was watching what the Lord, how the Lord would help me love people. I was paying attention to the wisdom He would give. And I didn't want my love to just be words. It was sincerity. I loved them for real. And I said, if I can love my enemy, if I can love people that give me a hard time, in truth, in spirit and in truth, just like worship, then I'm going to be better at defeating Satan. And that's when the Lord started talking to me. See, the Lord is attracted to people who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I've said it many times that those that learn the most from God, they are people who walk in love. They understand faster. They understand easier. And I've seen pastors that go to good Bible colleges, and they have a wealth of knowledge, a golden wealth of knowledge. But I've seen people who've never been to college, never been to a good church yet. they go to a good church, but you know, their Bible education is, you know, they never been fully trained like a pastor that goes to a great Bible college. But their speech is so authentic of the Holy Spirit because they love God's people. And when the Lord give them something or help them understand something, it's so well put. The words are so ordered so perfectly. And you know it's the wisdom of God. It's just like Peter when he and John healed the lame man. The Pharisees that wanted to stop the works of God, they beheld Peter that they were unlearned men and that they had been with Jesus. And there was nothing they could say against this miracle that had happened. And the words that Jesus replied back, they were so piercing that there was nothing they could do about it. And they were more educated than Peter was. They went to man's school, but Peter and John and all the apostles, they did not go to Bible school. They went to Jesus and they learned from the master. And he taught them out in life. So you can get a college education all day, and that's wonderful. It's golden. It's good. And God can use you. But those that walk in love, they learn more from the Lord. Now, just imagine if you did go to Bible college and you have a wealth of knowledge and you yield yourself to the Lord and love his people. People who walk in love learn more. They're more accurate. The Lord can do more with them than those who don't walk in love. Even if the people who really want to know God, if their love walk is not right, their education is not going to be the same. Even when God tell them the truth, and even when the truth is spoken, see, the Lord, sometimes the Lord will speak through people. It won't look like it's coming from him, but he's using people to share something with you. If you don't walk in love, you won't even receive that truth right. You won't understand it. You won't even see it, or it won't make sense to you. But when you walk in love, the truth of God stands up. It's so, your heart is hungry for it. And when the Lord speaks, it makes sense. And when you endeavor to receive that truth, and you learn it. Some people have heard the truth, but they don't value it. And because of their love walk, they don't really detect it. But God is good, and he's faithful and true. Now, there are so many distractions. The enemy, Satan, has ordered his demons to harass everybody. Now, most people have never had to deal with Satan. Now, when I fight, I always stop Satan in his tracks because he's over all his demons. You can fight foot soldiers all day, but I say, Satan, your plan against me is dead. If I'm praying for somebody, I say, your plan against that person is dead. You can't hurt them. You can't kill them. You can't use them against me. And all the evil, negative words that you've spoken through your people have no effect on me. In Jesus' mighty name. And I just cut off all of his works with my words of faith, because I believe everything I just said. And it's biblical because God gave me authority. So it is with everybody who believes. He gave you authority over Satan. Whether you use it or not is up to you. Now, we're still dealing with end times. And we want everybody to know what God is doing. I want you to know him. You can know him. If you can walk in love, you will learn from him. If you won't have enough faith to walk in love, your education from him will be limited. We have to know how to live in these end times. Things are not like they used to be, and they're not going to be like they used to be. You're going to have to live by your faith. You're going to have to learn to live by your faith. And you're going to have to take God at his word. In this chapter of end times, these are the things we're dealing with. Now, this broadcast is also on newlivingletters.com. newlivingletters.com. Every broadcast is on newlivingletters.com. And it's on there right now. And every broadcast I put on the webpage, it's on the webpage even before the radio broadcast. The radio broadcast is 15 minutes, but this radio broadcast is actually almost 30 minutes long on the web. So remember, newlivingletters.com, and tell your friends. Anybody out of town can listen to what you're listening to right now. And I thank God for modern technology. That's why he gave it. So in ministry, if you really want to make a difference in the lives of people, love people where they are. Now, this is something I learned along the way. If you're in ministry and if you just want to love everybody you know, do not count on people to do you right. People are under satanic attack. The enemy is always trying to get people off focus. I told my son, I said, never be fast. Never be quick to believe. Never believe the worst about people. Never believe the worst about people. If you can look, because that can change your focus. If you're looking at the Lord and you're doing things His way, love people where they are. Love them. If they help you, thank God and thank them. If they work against you, pray for them. Tell Satan he can't use their works against you. But in the last two broadcasts, we talked about how strife interferes with the way people learn. And we talked about how a lot of pastors, their church gets in a stalemate when they get in strife over people that don't tithe and give offerings. If everybody pulled their weight, everything would be so much smoother. And that's the heart of God. That's the way it should be. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. When Paul was sent to the Gentiles, Paul, Silas, Barnabas, they were apostles and they were sent to the Gentiles, just like Peter and the 11 were sent to the Jews first. The Gentiles knew nothing about tithe. They knew nothing about tithing and offerings and the different types of offerings like the Jews did. And if you read the book, they never really brought it up. They mentioned it in later years. See, Corinthians was written much later than the earlier books of chapters of Acts. And as people got used to it, they started giving. And the Philippians were one of the first churches to give to Paul's ministry. He said, nobody gave me anything but you. And he said that, and he prayed that the Lord would bless them. And because they donated to the ministry and they put money in their spiritual account. See, when you give money to a ministry, the money leaves your hand, but not your life. Peter allowed Jesus to preach off of his fishing boat. He could have been out there fishing, making money for his family, but he brought his boat and let Jesus preach off of it and listen to what Jesus said. And right after Jesus got through and the crowds left, he told Peter, launch out your boats, your nets, for a haul. And Peter let down one net and it like it almost broke. And he had to get his co-workers and friends to come out there and drop other nets down because they caught a boatload of fish. Why? Because the Lord blessed him for being a blessing to his people by letting Jesus preach off of his boat. It works. If you have a struggling business, if you're a business owner and you have a struggling business, go get some money and bless the ministry work of God toward your financial success. I do it. When I need money, I give more. And it works. Pay tithes. When you pay a tithe, it blesses your future. But it's not supposed to be gotten in strife over. If people don't give a dime in church, and you're a pastor, and your ministry is just starting out, it's wise not to be in strife with them. Do not get in strife with them, because where envy and strife is, there's also every evil work that will follow it. And one of the problems you'll run into, if you're in strife with them, it'll get in your heart, it'll come out, people will be offended, you're offended with them, and they're offended with you. On either side, if you're offended with them, they can't learn from you the same. If they're offended with something you said, or if they're offended with you, they can't learn from you the same. So you have to think beyond what Satan is doing. Satan is behind all weakness, all ignorance, and all foolishness. He's the one that tries to keep people from learning who God really is. So for this reason, you gotta rise above, fly high in the clouds with the Lord. See things circumspectly and be wise in every case. Preacher, I don't know if I can do it. The word of God will help you do it. Because God told Joshua to study his word day and night. And he will be able to do all to stand and he will have good success. We in our generation is no different. So it's important to know that you have a way to have greater success. Ministry should be enjoyed. If you get in strife, you will grudgingly do God's work. And you don't need to, and it affects everything. Remember, in Matthew 7 and 18, it said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. With that being said, consider your ministry a seed. What do you believe? Do you believe God's word in part and Satan's word in part? That's the kind of fruit you will bear. The more you believe God's word, the greater the fruit you will bear. The less you believe God's word and believe the suggestions of Satan and this world system, that's the kind of fruit you will bear. In other words, your words, your actions, your deeds, the way you are, the way you think, is a living seed. And you will produce what you are now. Even if you don't want to. If your heart is not right with God, you cannot produce fruit whose heart is right with God either. Because your influence is a domination to those who hear you and trust you. Your standards will become their standards unless they study the word for themselves, which most people don't. They count on their leaders. Just like children count on their parents. Their parents shape and influence the way that they see things, the way that they feel. If parents have a hard problem with race and they're racist, then the children, that's a greater hurdle they have to jump over. Now, thank God we get influences elsewhere as well. Now, that can be good and bad. Some people come from a home where the parents were racist. And they looked at people different. And they saw the ugly side of that. And they were influenced by wiser people, and they learned to hate racism. I'm just using it for an example. Satan is behind racism. He's afraid, just like a husband and wife on one accord. Let me put it this way. Just like a husband and wife on one accord with the word of God and each other. Their influence is too strong. They will promote the living ways of God in the earth, and they will affect everybody they know. Everybody, even their enemies, are affected by their good marriage and their healthy relationship. That's what Satan fears. Now let's go a little further. A godly family. The children love their parents and they heed their wisdom. The parents love the children and give them wisdom in the first place. And they live the life of God before them. They're sowing good seeds in their home. They are good seeds. That family will be known. People will see that family flourish. Finish school, go to college, do good things, get married, have greater families. They are affecting everybody they know. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the racist. God made all the races equally but different. They have different attributes. Now, I wrote about this in the book called The Cost of Freedom. It's on the Living Letter Ministries, Living Letters page. It's on the Living Letter Ministries, Living Letter page. I got two websites, Living Letter Ministries and NewLivingLetters.com. The older website, Living Letter Ministries, I couldn't put anything else on it, but it's got a lot of things on it. And the book called The Cost of Freedom. That's when the Lord taught me about races and how beautiful all races are. Satan is afraid of the races operating on one accord, in according to the love of God. Because it'll be so beautiful, it'll set a greater standard. And if people don't see it, they won't value it, and they won't even believe it's possible. So he tries to stir up division among the races. And that's a tragedy for everybody, because God loves everybody. Everybody has potential. Races don't think alike in every way. In basic ways, there are many things we think alike on. But our uniqueness, there's a uniqueness in every race. It's a gift from God. And the only way to get it is from that particular person of that race. And I explained that in that book. God gave all the races different attributes. And we need each other. And every race is of God, not Satan. Satan didn't make man, God did. But Satan wants you to think people of other races are a curse, or they don't like you, or they're not good. But that's not true. I'm not talking about just black and white, Asian, people of India, Jewish people, Arab people. Every race is beautiful. They are God's creation. The enemy uses lack of knowledge, lack of education, strife, envy, debate, all the worldly things, lust, greed, envy, pride, to divide us. Because he don't want to have to deal with us if we ever get on one accord. So racism will always be a challenge, but Satan was defeated. So it's important to know these things. So love people where they're at. They might not even like you today, but love them. And you will learn a wisdom that you can't learn any other way. Let your love be consistent. Count on man for nothing, but count on God for everything. Count on man for nothing, but count on God for everything. Count on the Lord for your emotional support, because you got to have a healthy emotion system. Count on the Lord for your strength so that you can love contrary people. And that's what I did. I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. I knew for a fact that people were going to be contrary. I watched people for years. And I didn't want to hate anybody. I didn't want to be mad at anybody, because that displeased God, and I knew it. When I saw that he could give me strength to love, I counted on it. And when I saw it pleased him, I was more interested. Now watch this. I didn't know what was going to happen between me and the people, whether we'd ever be friends or not. But as I kept doing it, my love being consistent, they changed. In most instances, they changed. And some of them became friends, and some of them got saved. So now I'm saying, whoa, this works. Now I'm more excited about loving people where they're at, counting on them for nothing. And I can feel what the preacher's saying. But preacher, you telling me to love them and they're not doing me right, I'm telling you to love them and they're not going to do you right. And some of them, some of them want to do you right, and they're still not going to do you right, because they can't, because they got to learn God's word. If they just walked out of the world, don't expect too much out of people. And even if they've been going to church a long time. Because a mindset takes a long time to make adjustments. It takes the word of God. People are not going to change too much until they get in God's word. And most people won't do that. Now, some will. Some will be inspired by people who get in the word, and they'll start doing it. And when they find out it works, they get more interested, just like I did. I came to a point, I said, I'm not going to worry about trying to make a big ministry and a name for myself. That's a dead end. That's a dead end road. I said, Lord, you anointed me to preach your word. Help me do whatever you want me to do. I didn't call myself, you called me. Help me do whatever it is you want done. Help me to do all of it. All of it. I said, but right now, I just want you to teach me how to live. And I put more effort into how I live and carry myself and what I learned from him. I enjoy his presence. Now, I said years ago how I used to go in his presence, and I said, I want to live in his presence. I want it to be just like when I'm at work as it is in the prayer room. When I'm in God's presence, I feel like I can do anything, even euphoric. I feel great. I feel powerful. I feel his love. I said, that's how I want to live. I don't know how to do it. Show me how to do it, Lord. I know there's a way to do it. And I said again, my pastor said, no, you got to come off that mountain and go back in the valley. Now, that sounds good. That sounds just like any other thing Satan would have to say. It sounds good. That's what you expect. That's all you know. And that's all I knew at the time was the mountain every now and then and the valley most of the time. But I didn't want that. I said, there is a way to live like in God's presence, even though you're at work, school, or wherever you got to go and be. I said, but Lord, I don't know how to do it, and I hadn't seen anybody do it, but I know with you all things are possible. Teach me how I can do it, because I like your strength. And it was a process. I kept on after him about it, but I learned to love. I learned to use my faith. I learned to trust him. There were a lot of things that happened over time, over the years, and I got better and better and better at it. And when I started studying the word, that made the difference, along with everything else. He told me to read 15 chapters a day, 5 in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, 5 at night. And it changed my vision. I saw the word different. Instead of reading scriptures, I read chapters. When you read chapters, you get a more holistic understanding. And then he started talking to me more frequently. And I'm at work listening to the Lord, getting messages. It happened. Just like in the prayer room used to be, I'm living that dream now. You can too. And it's my goal for everybody to know about it. I'm not going to keep a good thing to myself. I'm going to tell you. If I learn anything from the Lord, I'm going to tell you. God loves us. His love is great. His love is a treasure to be found. So I want you to know him. And you can. Enjoy your ministry. Enjoy your life. You don't need props. You don't need props to be important. You don't need a big ministry that everybody can see. You are important. Get over it. You are complete in him. Now focus on his heart. What is in his heart?